Good morning. How many of you were not here last night? Oh, wow. How many of you were here last night? How many of you were not here last night? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I told my husband this morning, he called me. Today's his birthday. And so anyway, I said, you all were the most attentive Friday night audience I've ever had. No, for real. Debbie knows. Usually Friday night, they're like half asleep, irritated because they're, you know, it's been a hard work week. And so I said, babe, we're attentive for two messages on a Friday night. And so I appreciate your attentiveness last night. That was encouraging. So anyway, just a reminder, I know Jan's already said, but after this session, when we have our little 15-minute break, that will be the last time to purchase any materials, and I'm not going to rehearse what all those are, so since I did that last night. And some of you have asked me if I was joking that I have two stomachs, and no, it was not a joke. It is for real. When God saved me at the age of 30, the way he did it was threw me in a hospital bed because I had undiagnosed pain for 2 weeks, couldn't see my kids or my husband, and then 6 more weeks at home, and that was the time I really had to come face to face with my hypocrisy. And that, if that's my, is that my phone? I had turned it off. That is terrible. That happened to me a few weeks ago in church, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Anyway, can you just okay, I'm so sorry. You want to see pictures of my grandkids? No, just kidding. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Donna Ray, it's you're texting me in church? It says Donna Ray, three attachments. Here, Div. From one pastor's wife to another. But anyway, back to my story. That is a true story. So the doctor said, we were trying to find out what this pain was. I was throwing up, and we didn't know what was wrong with me, and I had 2 children by then, and that wasn't the reason that I was having the pain, the stomachs. But anyway, he came in the room, and he said, do you have a good appetite? And I said, yeah, I can out-eat any of my girlfriends. I go, why are you asking me that? He said, I bet it costs a lot to feed you. And I said, what are you, you know, I don't know what he was talking about. So he said, did you know you have 2 stomachs, and they both function? And I was like, well, that's why I've been starving my whole life. I mean, I was just hungry all the time as a child growing up. And so anyway, I do have 2 stomachs. They both function. And so I remember asking my mom after the whole ordeal was over. And she said, yeah, you were the only baby that I had to stop nursing because you would just, after I fed you on both sides, you scream. And so then this is really freaky. I mean, it's really freaky. So a couple of years later, I was getting a root canal. And the periodontist called all of his employees in his, where I was getting this root canal. He goes, look at this woman's mouth. He said, she has double roots and canals. He said, I've never seen this in all my practice. So I don't know. I'm a freak show. What can I say? So when my kids were out in California going to college, and they'd say, when I'd go visit them out in California, they go, Mom, we're going to go out to eat tonight with our friends. I want them to watch you eat. So I can eat a lot. I control myself because right after I got married, I did eat exactly what I wanted because I didn't get to do that growing up, and I gained 45 pounds right after I got married. So I'm pretty much hungry all the time, but I've learned to deal with it. So be content, right? Whether you're hungry. That's why when I went on that diet with my daughter that I was telling you about last night, that's why I was really, really hungry because I have 2 stomachs. And when I get the stomach flu, it's not fun. I usually throw up 20 to 30 times a day. It's really bad. So that's another joy of that. But it was a true story. I was not lying. It's real. And I have medical history to prove it. In fact, my husband has said if I die before he does, he's going to have to get 7 wives to accomplish everything I do. So I think I was a twin that mutated, and you know, I've got double energy and double everything. So, well, back to serious business here. For those of you that were not here last night, Jan gave you kind of where we are. We're looking at living joyfully. And last night we began with living joyfully in our prayer life, kind of elevating our prayers to heavenly from the temporal. We get bogged down in asking the Lord for not mundane things. He cares about everything, but sometimes we forget that he has a bigger picture in mind. So hopefully that will help you as you think about your prayer life. And then secondly, we looked at living joyfully in our circumstances by looking at four keys to contentment and how we can be content in every relationship that we have and in every circumstance that we have. And so I hope that was a help to you. And so this morning we're going to continue on. We have two sessions this morning. And the first one is going to be joy in our thought life. As I brought out last night, the Bible says, as a man thinks, or in our case, as a woman thinks in her heart, so is she. And so, ladies, if you have a difficult time with living joyfully or having joy in your life, it could be because you have wrong thinking. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so a lot of times what we say is really what's in our heart and mind. And so I'm hoping through this session that we can think about what we should be thinking about. And maybe through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can clean up our thought life. So for this session, we're just going to be looking at two verses in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, and we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. 4, 8, and 9. Did you know that your brain is the most complex mechanism in the world and the most influential organ of your body? Did you know the average brain weighs 3 pounds, contains 12 billion cells, each of which is connected to 10,000 other brain cells, totaling 120 trillion brain connections? Did you know that a major portion of your 1,800 gram brain consists of your mind? And did you know the average person dies with only having used 10% of his or her mind capabilities during his lifetime? So ladies, you die without having used 90% of your brain. You know, that's just amazing. Now you may be saying, Susan, I thought this was a lesson on our thought life, not a lesson on the human brain. Well, it is a lesson on your thought life, but think about it. In the beginning, God told Adam and Eve how they should think, right? And if they would think the way God wanted them to think, we wouldn't be here, right? They would live happy and holy lives. But ladies, we know since from the beginning of time and the Garden of Eden, there has been a battle over who will control our mind. Will we allow God to control our mind, or are we going to allow the enemy to control our mind? Every day we wake up and we battle with our flesh to think and behave in a way that is pleasing to God. And I know because it just happened to me this morning. I woke up at 4:30 and I was laying in my bed for 30 minutes. I got up and I had a wrong thought immediately and I had to ask Debbie's forgiveness for it. So I don't need to go into it, but it is every day we wake up, right? And we battle with our flesh. Are we going to think the way God wants us to think, or are we going to think the way we want to think and the way that is fleshly? And ladies, whether you want to admit it or not, what you think greatly determines what kind of life you're going to live. So, my dear sister, have you examined your thought life lately? What goes through the 1,800 gram of your brain every day? Well, the Apostle Paul is going to give us something to think about in this lesson. In fact, he's going to give us 6 virtues that we should be thinking. And as I said, with your help and with your mind's cooperation, I hope we're going to clean up our thought life if we apply this lesson. So let's read verses 8 and 9 together. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things that you have both learned and heard and received in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, just a little bit of a context here. Paul has just reminded them, as he began chapter 4, he's talking about Yodi and Syndicke, those two women who couldn't get along, and he's asking Clement and the other people in the congregation to help these women. I've always wondered what they were fighting about, you know? And I call her Yodi and Soon Touchy, because she must have been touchy about something, probably the color of the carpet or the type of music. I don't know what these two women were arguing about, but it will be interesting when we get to glory. I'm curious. I'm a curious woman, so I'm going to find them in heaven and say, what was your deal? But anyway, so he talks about that, but then he goes right into anxiety. And remember, Paul's in prison. We've talked about this, and I'm sure this was a temptation for him. But he tells the church at Philippi to not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let their requests be made known to God. And then he says, then let the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he's just talked to them about the importance of putting off anxiety and putting on prayer in its place. And ladies, anytime in Scripture where we're commanded to put off something, we need to put on something in its place. And so the flow of the text here is very simple. Put off anxiety and put on these six things you should be thinking. And so instead of being anxious, I'm to think on things that are true, lovely, just, and on and on. So I wanted to give you the context there before we get into it. So you have an outline there. If you have a brochure or a bulletin, as it's been called here, we're going to look at think what from verse 8 and then why we are to think this way. First of all, notice what Paul says. He says we are to think on whatever is true. Now you might say, well, what is that? Well, the idea of true means that which is true in thought, word, or deed. And it would be anything that is true to the nature of who God is. So obviously, ladies, we should not be thinking on anything that is false, demonic, dishonest. We're to think on things that are true. And we know this to be true because God is the author of what? Truth. And so we are to think on things that are genuine, sincere, true to God's nature. One of the best things I think you can think about, since we're thinking about thinking on truth, is God's Word. I mean, ladies, we have 66 letters from God to us. These are the things that we can be thinking about, right? And if we would spend more time in this book, maybe we wouldn't have so much problems in our thought life. We need to be thinking on truth. We should spend time reading the Bible, meditating. That's a lost art in our culture. Meditating, chewing on the Word, memorizing the Word. I can honestly tell you through the years that I have been discipling and counseling women, that the women that I have met with that will take the challenge to memorize God's Word, it has completely changed their life. It's changed the way they think, which in return has changed the way they live. And so if we'd spend more time doing that and less time on some of these other trivial pursuits that we as women get caught up in, I guarantee you it will change the way you think. Now, the opposite of thinking on things that is true is thinking on things that are lies, right? In fact, we know who is the author of lies? Satan, right? John 8:44 says, you are the father of the devil and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for truth. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. And so if you're not thinking this morning on something that's true, you're thinking on something that is a lie, and that's from Satan. And so that is very, very serious. John MacArthur says this is really good. He says, during spiritual warfare, Satan primarily attacks your thinking and your emotions. If he can condition you to think and feel contrary to God's word, he has won a significant victory. That's why he attempts to fill your mind with lies, immorality, false doctrine, and half-truths. He tries to blur the line between righteousness and sin by surrounding you with evil influences that increase your tolerance for sin. He clothes offensive sin in the blinding garment of entertainment. He puts it to music and masks it in humor to confuse you and deaden your spiritual senses. Satan wants to corrupt your emotions and draw you into sinful desires, end of quote. Ladies, we as women are probably Satan's number one target for this area of our thought life. In fact, sometimes my husband will say, Susan, why are you thinking that way? I mean, I think we as women, because God has created us to be emotional creatures, we're more emotional than men. And so often our minds are going to things that are not true. And I'm saying this because I'm a woman. I'm not criticizing the gender, but we are women. We're speculative. We're suspicious. We're nosy. We often, that's why the Bible says, young women marry, bear children, rule the house, give no occasion for the adversary to speak reproachfully, because if we don't, it says some women wander from house to house talking about stuff they shouldn't be talking about, right? And in our day, we don't walk from house to house. Well, maybe you do in Poland, but most places now we don't walk from house to house speaking, you know, gossiping, but we have a new way of doing it, right? And it's called texting and Twittering and Instagram and, you know, all those other things that we talk about, things we shouldn't talk about. And so, but we as women, that is the way we are many, many times. For example, if someone doesn't speak to you at church, where does your mind go? What have I done? Are they upset with me? You know, why aren't they talking to me? Or if your husband is not home on time, where does your mind go? I remember as a young bride, we didn't have cell phones back then. I know that's hard to imagine life without a cell phone, but it really was a good life, I'm telling you. Maybe a little bit better. But I remember one time my husband was late coming home from the church office. I was probably about 20 because I got married when I was 18. But I was like, I had him dead, you know, buried. I'd already planned his funeral. And I was hysterical by the time he got home. I really was. Where have you been? Why haven't you gone? And so I had already planned. And same thing when my kids started, you know, when they were 16 and they would have a curfew and they had to be home at 10:30 on Saturday night. And if they were at 10:30, same thing. They'd been in a car wreck, you know, and I had gotten myself all worked up. These are not true thoughts. Not true thoughts. You know, what I could have done was, my husband's late. I wonder if he stopped at the grocery store and bought me some flowers or candy, you know? That probably wasn't true either. But we waste our time thinking on all the things that aren't true. What if this? What if that? What if this? I know when my husband had his stroke in September, I really had to gird up the loins of my mind. We did plan for me to be a widow, but God in his mercy spared him. But we were planning that way. So I had to think in reality, but I just didn't let my mind go there. I didn't know what God was going to do. And so a lot of times we just dwell on all those things that are not true. And ladies, when we think about thinking what is true, do you know we're also supposed to speak the truth? Paul says, but speak the truth in love. We're to speak the truth. Also, Ephesians says, put away lying. Let every one of you speak the truth to his neighbor. And ladies, before we go on to the next virtue, since we're talking about true, could I say this? We must also feed our minds on truth. I would encourage you as a woman, and I'm saying this with all love to you, but candor and frankness. Many, many women get caught up in listening to false teachers. You should not do that. Do not give them an ear, whether it's male or female. If you are reading something or listening to something and your spirit is pricked that this is not true, don't give it your time. Paul says we're to avoid false teachers. We're not to give them an ear. Often women will send me links and they'll say, what do you think about this woman? Or what do you think about this man? And you know, a lot of times it just takes about 10 or 15 minutes. And my red flags are going up. That's not true. That's not what God says. Don't give them an ear. Don't listen to them. And we as women need to be very careful. We need to feed our minds truth. And if we're going to think on what's true, we need to feed our minds truth. Well, the second virtue Paul says we are to think on is whatever is noble. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means whatever is dignified, whatever is worthy of honor, things that are respectable. And this is difficult in our day. You know why? We don't respect anybody. Children do not respect their parents. Students do not respect teachers. Citizens do not respect the president. Church members do not respect elders or pastors. I just read this morning in my news feed that there were seven elders. I don't know what church. I don't know what kind of church it was, but they're protesting. They're not going to resign. They've asked them to step down, but they've got protest signs outside the church, and they're not resigning. We have no respect for authority at all. And so, you know, everyone does what's right in their own eyes. And Debbie and I have had many flights where people just do what they want to do. We had one flight just recently where the flight attendant actually got out of her seat while we were taking off. I mean, we were up in the air, and she had to come back and try to settle down this man that was out of control. And then eventually she had to give the woman next to him her seat because he was threatening her, and he was out of control. And there's no respect to obey any rules. But yet we are to think on things that are respectable. And ladies, we are to show respect. And I would encourage you, as moms, teach your children to be respectful to those in authority over them, whether it's a parent, a grandparent. Debbie and I were recently traveling. I saw a little girl, she's probably 3 or 4 years old. She hit her grandmother in the stomach, and then she started yelling at her mom, telling her she hated her. And I was like, you know, I wanted to go over and say something, but then I might get, you know, shot with a gun, so I didn't. But there's no respect. And that action comes from a mind that doesn't have respect. We're to think of things that are honorable, respectable. Even if you don't care for our president, you still have to respect the office. I tell this to women often who have difficult marriages. Even though you might not respect what your husband is doing, you respect the office. He is God's authority over you. He is your husband. And so you can still respect the office, even though you might not respect the person. Now, when we think about thinking on things that are noble or respectable, you know, the person I think that deserves the most honor that we do not respect is the Lord. I mean, think about it. How many times do you sit in church, or even today, or even last night when you were here, and you're not thinking about the Lord or worship? You know, we just sang two songs. Where was your mind during that time? Many times in church, we're thinking about who's not here, why they're not here. You know, why didn't that lady speak to me? I wish that child in the back would quit, you know, making so much noise. Or we used to have some tables in the back of our church, and a few children sometimes would roll their crayons. And I always sit in the front because I like to sit in the front, so I'm not distracted. But I was like, I wish that parent would stop that kid from rolling the crayons back and forth. And a lot of times we're daydreaming. We're thinking about what we're going to fix for lunch, or if we're going to go out for lunch. And our mind is just wandering. And ladies, these things are unprofitable for worship. We need to focus on honoring the Lord. When you realize someone's not there, pray for them. Lord, I realize that so-and-so's not here today for church, but whatever her problem is or whatever her need is, pray for them. Or when you're singing songs, you need to focus on the words. And sometimes I have to close my eyes when I'm singing, because otherwise I'm distracted by everything else going around me, so I can really think about the words that I'm singing to the Lord. I'm worshiping Him, and we're to do that, the Bible says, in spirit and truth. And so I would encourage you, if you have a difficult time at church, move up front. I am very easily distracted, so that's one of the reasons I sit up front. Plus, that's where my husband is until he goes to preach, so I like to be up there. The third virtue that we're to be thinking about is things that are just. Now, what is this? This means to think on things that are right or righteous, both by divine and human standards. This would be the opposite of the evil man. Remember the evil man in Psalm 36:4, who plots evil in his bed at night, it says, and then he carries it out the next day. Reminds me of that guy. Remember Stephen Paddock? I think it was last year or the year before, he killed, 56 people in the Las Vegas shooting? Just was up in his hotel room, and he had this planned out for days and days and days, and he took his guns and he shot, 54, 56 people? I think it was the worst mass shooting we've had. Ladies, that's someone who plots evil in their bed at night and carries it out. We are not to be thinking about how to take revenge on others. We're not even, you know, the Bible even says, don't wish evil on your enemy. You know what happens if you wish evil on your enemy? It happens to you. That's what the Bible says. And so instead of thinking how I can take revenge or plot evil, I'm to think on how I can do good to my enemies, to love those who persecute me and hate me. And so we're not to be thinking on things that are evil, things that are just. Now, the fourth quality food for your brain is thinking on things that are pure. Now, what is that? Well, this means we must think on things that are holy, innocent, not mixed with moral impurity. We are to think on things that are clean. We are not to think on things that defile our minds. Ladies, this is a challenge. I will stand up here this morning and tell you this is a challenge. The reason it is a challenge is because everyone in this room probably has a cell phone. Very, very, even this morning, I was trying to read some news. My husband used to say, Susan, if you're going to travel around, speak to women, you need to know what's going on in the world, like who's president of the United States, you know? And I said, I don't really care about all this stuff. He said, you need to know what's going on in the world so you can be intelligent when you talk to women. So I try to read the news. But even this morning, as I was trying to read the news, and I usually decide whether I'm going to read an article based on the title. Well, this one, I thought, oh, this will be okay. Well, I started about four sentences. I go, nope, this isn't okay. It's impure. It's unholy. And it's so difficult. And we all have those devices. And many times ads will pop up. I mean, sometimes I'm listening to my Pandora station where I have certain Christian stations I love. And all of a sudden this man appears on there and he goes, do you want to date me? You know, it's a, I don't want to date you. I'm married. Get off my phone, you know? And so there is a challenge for us and for our children and our grandchildren. And ladies, we need to be very, very careful about what we let our eyes look on. Even billboards, even going to the mall. I know women or men now that won't even go, Christian men that will not go to the malls anymore because of the impurity that is there. Several years ago, I wrote Victoria's Secrets because I walk in the mall usually when I'm home with a friend that doesn't like to walk outside. And so I walk with her at the mall. She's quite a bit older than me. And on the storefront of the window, it was an ad, I won't even talk about it, but it was basically endorsing bestiality. And so I wrote Victoria's Secrets a letter and I said, do you not care about the number of men that are addicted, well, women now too, to pornography? And you know, they wrote me back and they basically said, mind your own business, sex sells. And, you know, and so a lot of men, Christian men I know now won't even go to the malls, not because of just that, but the storefronts of some windows, they're promoting things that are contrary to what we believe. And so we need to guard our minds. And I hope you guard the minds of your children and your grandchildren. Don't just hand them a device at the age of 2 years old and let them have at it. I've seen people do that. And it is dangerous. In fact, we just had our grandsons a few weeks ago. My oldest is 14. And I said, Jackson, I don't know what the rule is at your home, but at the rule at grandma's house, the phone stays downstairs when you're upstairs. So I want to be able to see because, I mean, I know they check his phone whenever, but he's in my home and I want to guard his eyes. He is a teenager. You know, as an older woman, one of the things I'm commanded to teach you is how to be pure. How to be pure. And when Paul says that to the church on the Isle of Crete, it's because there was so much impurity going on. In fact, Paul says about the Cretans, they're always evil, lazy, gluttons, and always liars. So they were kind of a, you know, race given over to immorality. But nothing is new under the sun. We are probably faced with as much immorality as the island of Crete, if not more, because of social networking and technology. Ladies, computer buffs say garbage in, garbage out. So whatever you put in your mind is going to come out. And so guard your mind, guard your hearts, guard your children. At my home, we have my husband has Covenant Eyes on his devices, and every 2 weeks I get a not a printout, but from Covenant Eyes, I'm his accountability partner, and I know every site he's visited. And that's not because I don't trust my husband. My husband has never looked inappropriately at another woman, and he better not ever, but he has never done that. In fact, someone asked him one time, who holds you accountable? He goes, are you kidding? Do you know my wife? And I've never seen him look inappropriately at another woman, but that's just for his own protection as a pastor, so that people know that I know every website my husband has ever visited. And so, ladies, we should have the heart of the psalmist who says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no evil thing before my eye. In fact, I know a woman who had a post note on her television that said just that. I will set no evil thing before my mind. Ladies, are you walking in your house with a perfect heart? Are you keeping your eyes from wicked things? What about your children's hearts, their eyes, their purity? You know, I counseled a woman one time. Her husband was addicted to porn. It started at the age of 4 when his parents took him to Paris. And if you've ever been to Paris, there's a lot of nudity there. I've been there. And statues. So he was a little boy looking up, saw that, and that was the beginning of a journey for him that was not good. And so guard the minds and the eyes of your children. If you watch a lot of inappropriate television or movies or do a lot of inappropriate internet searching, do not be surprised if you struggle with wrong thinking. You will. In fact, they tell us the average male watches 26 hours of television a week, and the average female watches 36 hours a week. Now, ladies, I don't, believe me, I don't know what's on. We have, you know, probably 600 channels. And I'm like, there's not even, sometimes my husband, I'll turn the TV on and go, there's nothing on. We have 600 channels and there's nothing on worth watching. And so if you're one of those women that watches that much, I want to come see me afterwards. I want to know what you watch, because I can't find anything very much to watch. In fact, this is a statistic that should shock us all. The average high school student spends more time in front of a television in his lifetime than the sum total spent before a teacher from kindergarten through high school. So they spend more time in front of a television. Of course, now we have the, you know, iPads and all that, than they do learning in school. Ladies, they also tell us that pornographic websites are the number one engine searched on the internet. Did you know that? Sex is the number one thing searched on the internet. Sad to say, I meet a lot of Christian women. They can tell me what's on TV, who the latest actors and actresses are, what's going on in their life, but they know nothing about the Bible. It's a very sad indictment. If you struggle with impure thoughts, I would challenge you to calculate how much time you're spending with wrong input into your mind. Calculate that. Take a journal every day. How much time am I spending with wrong input? Ladies, we must reclaim this. We are to think things that are pure. The fifth virtue that Paul says we're to think about is things that are lovely. Now, what is this? Well, the word lovely means what is dear, what's pleasing, what's beautiful in character. Ladies, think on love. Think on friendship. Think about things that are good, you know? Don't think on resentment or bitterness or selfish, arrogant thoughts. Do you ever just take some time to think about those that you love? You know, I've lost both of my parents, and my dad would have, his birthday is today too. He would have been 101 if he'd have lived. He and my husband shared a birthday. I've thought about my dad today. He died at the age of 96. My mom's gone too. Do you ever just think about memories you've made with people that you love? That's a good thing to think about, right? In fact, one of the ladies who disciples me, she gave a very great assignment to a woman in our church that was having trouble loving her husband. And it goes right along with here on thinking things that are lovely. And I thought, this is really wise. And so she had her take two pieces of paper. And on one piece of paper, she had her write down everything she didn't like about her husband. And there was quite a list. She was pretty bitter. And then on the other piece of paper, she had her write down everything that she loved about her husband. And then she told her in her Atlanta accent, you know, this is the Atlanta one, every time you are tempted to think evil of your husband, I want you to take this piece of paper with all the things that you love about him, put it on top of the other one, and that's what I want you to think about. And I thought, what a great thing. That trained your mind to stop thinking all the evil things, all the ugly things that you think about your husband or anyone else, and determine to think on what is lovely. That's what Paul's saying. Think on things that are lovely. If I were a betting woman, which I'm not, I would bet that lovely women have lovely thought lives and crabby women have ugly thought lives. Think about it. Well, only think about it if it's lovely, so don't think about it. Okay. The final and sixth virtue to think on is things that are of good report. Now, what is this? This means that which is well spoken of, that which is reputable, things that are positive, constructive, rather than negative and destructive. So ladies, instead of thinking bad reports about people and criticizing them, we must think good reports about people and speak well of them. Now, this does not mean, please listen, this does not mean that we speak and think things that are not true. There are people that are bad, and there are bad things that happen. So you don't play spiritual gymnastics with your brain. Say, well, I know that's an evil person, but I'm not going to think that. We deal in reality. We're not gullible. But we dwell on the good things and not the negative. So this would mean if someone comes to you and gives you a bad report about somebody, what I do when somebody, and they do as a pastor's wife, they always feel, Doug says, my husband says, they come to me, so I'll tell him. But when they come to me and start giving me a bad report, the first thing I say is, have you gone to them? And they say, most of the time, no. And I say, well, then I don't need to know this. If you have a problem, you need to go to them and tell them. Now, my husband goes a step further. I'm not quite as bold as he is, but he'll say, let's get in my car right now, and you can go over to, we'll go over to their house, and you can just tell them what you told me. And so no wonder they come through me now. They don't ever go to him anymore. So, you know, receiving a bad report is not honoring to the Lord. So if somebody comes to you, stop them and say, go to that person. And what I usually do, I hold them accountable. I'm going to say, I'm going to give you a week to go take care of this offense, and I'll be checking back to see if you've taken care of it. So we're to dwell on things that are positive, constructive, not negative and destructive. And oh, how I wish the politicians of our day would put this into practice. I don't know about you. I get so weary of their criticism and slander and made up lies just to destroy. I think about all the people's lives that have been destroyed in the last few years, just through the politicians and the hatefulness and the criticism. And ladies, that should give you a good picture of what it is like if you do not get your mind under control and quit thinking destructive things, think constructive and positive things. Well, these six thoughts are described by Paul as virtuous and praiseworthy, as evidenced by what he says next. Notice what he says. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Now, what's he saying? Well, Paul uses the word virtue, and he's talking about moral excellence or that which is pleasing to God. Paul is not saying that we only think these six virtues. He says if there's any other thing that is virtuous, any other thing that is praiseworthy, then think on that. Ladies, there's so many things that we can think about. One lady was telling me this morning downstairs about a unique answer to prayer that God had given her this week, and she was praising the Lord, and I said, that's really, I great love it when God does that, and he answers those little tiny prayers that mean a lot to us. That's something you can think about. Or, you know, a lot of times when Debbie and I are flying, and I'll look out the window and look at the clouds, and I think about God and glory and heaven and hoping we don't go down, but we might. And in fact, today they're expecting a lot of tornadoes, so this might be our day, who knows, but might be, you know, go up in a cloud of glory. But, you know, you think about, dwell on those type of things, on friendships you've made, or the beautiful flowers, or the lovely, the delicious food that you're going to eat at lunchtime. Think on things that are virtuous, praiseworthy. And again, if you can't think about anything, get your mind in this book. You know, this is virtuous and praiseworthy. And Paul says these six virtues indeed bring praise and glory to the Lord. Ladies, the opposite brings grief and sorrow to his name. Well, concerning these six virtues, Paul says we're to meditate on these things. What does that mean? We take these things into account. We give them weight in our decisions. Ladies, these six things are the ones we should be thinking about. Our mind should dwell on them at all times. And so this brings me to a question. Have you examined your thought life lately? Do you ever stop and just think about what you're thinking? I have. I just stop and think, what am I thinking? If you're having a problem with joy or peace in your life, I would ask you, are you thinking on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report? You know, it's been said you cannot prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent it from building a nest in your head, right? So it is with thoughts. You can't prevent them from coming through your mind. Thoughts are going to come into your mind that are not good. They're not lovely. They're not pure. They're going to come there. Believe me, they will. But you don't have to let them rest there, right? They don't have to stay in your mind. Ladies, by thinking on those six things, we can crowd out those other things that rob us of our joy. In fact, that same mentor told me that her mentor said this, and I thought it was very wise. She said, you are to Philippians 4:8, every thought before you invite it in for tea. It's a good thought, isn't it? Is this true, Susan? Is this lovely? Is this a good report? If it's not, don't invite it for tea. Don't let it sit in your mind. Ladies, that would be a good habit for all of us to get into. Well, so now that we are to know, now we know what we're going to think, now we end with, why should we think this way? Well, look at verse 9. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. So what's Paul talking about? What are the these things he's talking about? These six virtues. Paul says, you've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen these in me. Evidently, the church at Philippi, they knew that Paul lived this way. Paul thought on things that are true and lovely and just and of good report. He's evidenced it through his whole epistle, if you've ever read it. And ladies, this is a sobering responsibility for all leaders. Paul lived this out in front of the church at Philippi. And so they were able to see and hear and learn from him. And may I say that people are watching us too, your children, your grandchildren, your husband. They know, they might not know what's going on in your thought life, but they know how you behave, right? And so this is a behooves us as women to live out what we believe. Well, what is the church at Philippi supposed to do with all that they've learned, received, heard, and saw in Paul? Are they to chalk it up for another interesting sermon? Should they tell it to their spouses and hope that they get it? No, notice what Paul says. You're to do it. You're to do it. You're to perform this. You're to practice this. Ladies, James has a sobering word for us about this, hearing without doing. If any is a doer of a word and not a hearer of the word, you've deceived your own self. For he says, if anyone's a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word, he's like a man, or I'd say in this case a woman, she beholds herself in a mirror. She goes her way and immediately forgets what manner of woman she looks like. But he who looks and into the perfect law of liberty and then does it, what happens? They're blessed. They're happy. That joy comes in. Ladies, hearing without doing is deceiving yourself. Paul says, you've seen all this stuff, now do it. Go practice it. Ladies, if you come this weekend, and we're going to hear one more message, and these are very practical messages for women, but if you go out that door this afternoon and you determine you're not going to act on anything that the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you of, you're just a hearer of the word, not a doer. You've deceived yourself. That's a dangerous place to be. But one of the blessings, according to doing this, notice what Paul says, the peace of God will be with us. So this is the answer. Why should I do this? Why should I think on things that are true, lovely, just? Why should I do it? That takes effort. Well, Paul says the peace of God will be with you. The peace of God will be with you. Now, ladies, I don't know about you, but I want God's peace in my life. I want joy, but I want his peace too. There's nothing as satisfying to your soul as having the peace of God rule in your heart. Ladies, if you're thinking wrong, you will tend to worry and fret. But if you think correctly, you will have peace and you will have joy. What is peace? It's rest and it's contrast with strife. In fact, a lot of people, a lot of women especially, think peace is a feeling. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a condition of your soul. Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, what? Whose mind. There we go again, that mind. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. So what are we to think? We're to think on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Why are we to think this way? The result is the God of peace will be with us. So what about you? What are you thinking about right now? Do you dwell on the things that Paul mentions in verse 8? Or is your mind clouded by things that are not true, not noble, not just, not pure, not lovely, and not of good report? Well, in closing, I want to give you three practical tips on how to clean up your thought life in case you're having some struggles. The first thing you must do is ask yourself honestly. Don't play mind tricks with yourself. Ask yourself honestly, what am I feeding my mind? What do I put in my mind? Carefully examine your input. You might even want a journal starting tomorrow. What are you putting in your mind every day? Then, after you take care of that and you kind of see, what am I feeding my mind? First of all, you need to clean it up, okay? Maybe you need to root some things out. I think I told you yesterday about the lady that was, or mentioned this. I don't think I told the specific, but we were starting to disciple, and she said she didn't have time to spend in the Word. And I said, well, why don't you keep a journal this week of your what you do, and then maybe I can help you find some pockets of time. So she did, and she came back a week later, and she goes, I have to confess, I spend 2 to 4 hours a day in Facebook. And I go, well, no wonder you don't have time to be in the Word. So I said, why don't you put that aside for a while and try to come face to face with God instead in His Word. So after you see what you're feeding your mind, then you might want to root some of those things out. But then secondly, the second thing, when those things come into your mind that are not in accordance with Philippians 4:8. Ladies, that's when you need to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Paul mentions this in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against Christ, and bring every thought into the captivity or the obedience of Christ. In fact, the word captive is a military term referring to a military conquest. Ladies, you are to seize those thoughts, anything that is in opposition to Him, and demolish it, smash it. Susan, is this a true thought? No. Then stop thinking it. Stop. Start thinking something that's true. Susan, is this a pure, this is not a pure thought that just went through your mind. Stop it. Start thinking on things that are pure. Ladies, we are to demolish everything that comes into our mind. Thirdly, this will be a big key in helping you with your thought life. You've got to renew your mind. If you're going to take all those other things out, you've got to put something on in its place, right? Paul says in Romans 12:1-2, that he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. So, ladies, the way we renew our mind is through the Word of God. And I know I've said this over and over, but we need to saturate our minds with the Word of God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Control your thinking. Control your behavior. If you're not in the habit of memorizing Scripture, I would encourage you to start that great habit. It will help you avoid dwelling on things that are unpleasant or wrong. My sisters, think on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And the God of peace will be with you all, and joy will fill your heart. Money back guarantee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for this portion in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We thank you, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to train our minds to think as you would have us to think. So, Father, I pray that you would grant us the mind of Christ, that you would help us when things come into our mind that are not true and are unlovely, that are not pure, Lord, that we would not let them build a nest in our mind, that we would not begin that spiral down of wrong thinking that will lead us to wrong behavior. So, Father, I just pray that you would burden the hearts of all the women here this morning to begin to change the way they think by renewing their minds through your word. You say to us, Lord, that we are clean through your word, and so we want to have clean hearts and pure hearts through the cleansing of your precious holy word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.